pray. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. Working our way through the book of John. John chapter 12, verse number 20. 12:20. We have been walking through this. We're getting toward the last week. In fact, we've already had the triumphal entry. Jesus, in first part of this, well, the middle part of this chapter, 12:12, Jesus came into Israel, into Jerusalem, and the people actually hailed him as the King of Israel. And of course, the Pharisees didn't like that too much. And he's talking to the people, and then we get to verse 20, and there's some Greeks that came down to the Passover, and they said, we would like to see Jesus. Now, we don't really know, it says they came there to the feast to worship, and we don't really know who they are, whether they were, I mean, some folks say, well, they were Jews who weren't living in Israel, but living out amongst the dispersion, if you will, and they so they looked like Greeks and sounded like Greeks and acted like Greeks, and that's, and they called them Greeks. But the Bible said they're Greeks. So I'm going to take for granted they are a Greek proselyte. There were some folks who believed in Jehovah, in God, who were not necessarily Jews. And again, you can go back in the Old Testament, you see a lot of folks where even some heathen kings believed in God. And they talked about some things like that. So there were some people, you know, they always, the Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross the rest of the way after Jesus fell beneath the cross on the way up to Calvary. That Cyrene is a settlement in Egypt. And a lot of people think that he was black. But actually, there was a Jewish settlement from the dispersion in Cyrene. And so it's a very good chance that he was, you know, he was a Jew. Who came into town during the Passover? He was, I'm not sure, I remember, he's, I'm trying to think if he's in John or which gospel he's in, but we'll see him here too eventually. John chapter 12, verse number 20, and Jesus has just come into town. He's talking to the people, and of course the Pharisees don't like it. And verse 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came there to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come." Now that's a turning point there. We talked about that last week. Our hour is here. Over and over and over again, Jesus kept saying, My hour is not yet. My hour is not yet. It's not time. Don't worry about it. They're going to say, well, you're going to get killed. Don't worry about it. My hour is not yet. My hour is not yet. And he slipped through the crowd because his hour was not yet. Well, the hour's there. Now, he's not going to be crucified in the next 60 minutes, but the time is now heading toward that direction. And now we're going to be moving toward the crucifixion. He says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So that the Greeks said, we want to see who he is. We want to see Jesus. He says, okay, the hour's come. You're going to see who I am, glorified, shown for what I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now, that's like saying, Jesus, I know who my Father is, and I know this is my, I know that I'm his son. And so, he knows why he's there, but he said, this was spoken for your sakes. I wanted you to know. God wanted you to know. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They knew what it meant when he said lifted up. They knew that he was implying the crucifixion. And he said, well, wait a minute. I thought the Son of Man, that the Messiah is supposed to come, is supposed to live forever. How can you live forever, but you're telling us now you're going to be crucified? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, look at, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We'll see how far we get here this evening. And talking about, do you hear the voice of God? All this kind of goes together. I hated to stop, and it's an awful lot of material, but there's several lessons he's telling us there, and they kind of compound and play on one another. And so, Lord willing, all this will kind of come into fruition, and we'll be able to understand it there, all come together and coagulate in our brain a little bit there. Let's pray. We're talking about, do you hear the voice of God? Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, and we thank you for a chance to open your word. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. So once again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us. Help us understand. Lord, this is the mirror of God. Lord, let us look into the mirror and not forget what we've seen. And help us to learn some things about ourselves, maybe society. Help us just have some understanding. Teach us all things whatsoever you've commanded. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Have you ever wondered why some folks just seem to believe in the Lord and the Word of God and some folks just don't? I am not a Calvinist. I am not a Calvinist. But be honest with you, I don't know. Maybe it's because I heard it early. I don't know. I just thought, well, the Bible's true. Word of God is true. I'm not going to mess with it. If it goes against the Word of God, then it must not be true. I don't know. I don't know why, but I just feel that's the way I found. Janet has said the same thing. But, you know, sometimes some folks feel like they need to work on that a little bit. Now, the one verse we had there, it said that, he says, nevertheless, among the, verse 42, the chief priests, rulers also believed on him, but because the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So there are some times when we believe it, but we're afraid to stand up for it. Because, you know, what everybody else is going to think, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I can't say I was always stood on the promises as much as I or well as I should have. But sometimes, for some reasons, it's just a matter of saying whether the Lord is right or isn't he. The word of God is true or is not. And to pick and choose all this and say which part you want to believe, which part you don't want to believe, is really kind of a slap in God's face. Now, sometimes it's as simple as the fact that some listen to hear the voice of God and some do not. To some, when God communicates to them, they're not looking for what he is saying, and what they hear is just a lot of blah, 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 blah. Remember the old Charlie Brown? Whenever the adults talk, it was whoa, 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 whoa. You know, that's what it sounds. And probably, if you raise some little kids, that must be what they hear when you're talking to them, because it seems to make no sense. They don't do anything with what it is you told them. And I think some people are like that with God. God speaks, and what they hear is whoa, 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 whoa. Just they hear a noise, but they have no idea really what it's saying. And I think part of it is because they don't really expect him to talk. And they don't really expect to understand. And there's been several times, and we'll kind of touch on this before we get done this lesson here, whether we finish it tonight or next time or whatever. But you kind of get to the point where you got to decide, God, I want to know truth. And I'm going to put my nose in this book, and I'm going to study, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to hear it preached, and I want you to tell me what you want me to do. I want you to help me understand your word, and if I understand it, I'll do it. Now, don't tell him that if you don't mean it. But if you don't mean it, don't expect him to tell you. He doesn't cast his pearls before swine. You find him when you seek with him with all your heart. I know we've had a whole series of messages in the last year or so about that, but I'll tell you what, that is one of the key elements of understanding what God wants you to know, understanding truth, understanding the will of God. You've got to decide. You're listening for the voice of God, and when you hear what he has to say, whether in your heart, I'm not saying you're going to hear, this is God. I'm not saying that. But you gotta be, listen, because if God, if I understand you, I'm going to do it, and so don't let me think, and listen, I've said this too, don't let me think it's you without it being you. I want to know down in my heart, and you say, well, I'm not sure, I think it is, well, then you don't know yet. Because I prayed. Now, I think God can, he can keep a prayer like that. If he wants me to know for sure, it's like, and again, I've used this illustration so many times, but there were three times, for instance, I know in my life where I had a big decision and I want to know for sure because I didn't want to make a mistake. One, when I married Janet. I had in my heart that I thought maybe one of these days, God be merciful, I might become a pastor. I had it in my heart, but didn't know whether he could do anything with me. Besides that, I figured if I don't get the right woman, no one else is going to be able to put up with me. I'm serious. And so, Lord, I want to make sure I got the right one. Well, I knew the day that Jan and I got married, I knew without a shadow of a doubt I had the right one. I cried all the way through our vows. I take you to be my loving one. You know, it was awful. But anyway, I know I was the right one. Second was my first midlife crisis at the age of 30. And it was time for me to go to Bible college. And I left everything in the little Carroll County, Maryland, not knowing if I'd ever come back. But I knew if I didn't go, I probably wouldn't. I better go. And he packed up Janet and my oldest son, Sterling, and Esther. And off we went to Bible college. And I knew that all institutions have their issues. That one had issues too, but I knew without a shadow of a doubt that's where I was supposed to go. And a third for sure that I know was when I came up here to be the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist. It was no more, it was as real as if you put it on a piece of paper and signed it. Now, I think that we can be a spot in our life, in our heart, where we know what God is telling us to do. The problem is some of us are scared to put God on the spot, afraid he's going to fail you. He didn't fail. I know there's other times when I feel like it was, I was pretty impressed. But these were big decisions. If I brought my kids up here, and there was 28 people the first day, and I was taking them from a ministry that ran 1,800 to 2,000 people, and they were all kinds of opportunities that they had down there and so forth, and this was wrong, it could be one of the worst things that ever happened to my kids. They come up here, and this all failed, they're going to think, well, you know, God can't do anything. But if it was the right thing, it would be the very best thing for my kids. And it turned out to be the very best thing for my kids. They had opportunities here that we would have never had down there. And they saw God do something. Because they know their daddy that he didn't. They know what God can do. But we had to be listening to hear the voice of God. Some hear the voice of God in the thunder, and others just hear a noisy rumble. That's why Jesus said, let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Want to hear? You got to decide you want to hear. If you're going to say, well, I'll choose, when I hear something good, I'll grab a hold of it, and the rest of it I'll throw off the side. Don't expect to hear anything. All you're going to hear is, wah, 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 wah. I am not a perfect man, and I can be a mess as well as anybody else. But I know I get my mess. I feel like the Lord gives me. I know that I can't do what I do, and the messages we get, you know. I mean, maybe once in a while haven't been as close to the Lord as I should have been. But what I get for your messages, the Lord gives me. I really do. It comes right out of the book. And you'll have people who, and you've got people who've been here for years. Will say, "Boy, you were looking in my window today. You were looking at my window this week, and then you said, I was thinking about so-and-so, and you preached on that. And then they're coming over and eating up, and they'll say, you stepped on my toes today. Thank you, preacher. And then you got somebody else who leaves, so I don't know, I'm just not getting anything out of it. I just don't get anything out of it. And I'm not putting all the blame. I mean, I could be at fault, but I think a lot of times, especially since I opened the Bible, and the Bible itself won't come return void. If nothing else, you ought to get something out of the scripture I read. If I mess up and really blow it, if we read enough scripture, there ought to be something in there. If your heart's right with the Lord, and you want to hear truth, you're going to get something, even if it's the scripture across the page. You know, you're going to get something. If you're not getting anything, check and make sure you got ears to hear. Number one, everyone is within earshot. That's a good little word there. Earshot of the voice of God. Everyone is within earshot of the voice of God. 12:27 says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Let everybody know who you are. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What did the voice say? I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Somebody heard the voice say, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, what do you hear when the Lord speaks? Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. You know what they heard? Wah, 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 wah. It didn't click. Now, some people will accuse the people who are trying to be spiritual. Well, you're imagining. You're just making this up as it goes along. You're just trying to hope. You just think. Don't tell me you know. I think if you have ears to hear, surrendered ears to hear, I think the Lord can give you some very clear direction. We're so busy taking all the possibilities and weighing them out and writing a list of pros and cons and deciding what looks best according to worldly wisdom. And sometimes worldly wisdom should give you enough common sense to listen to God. Now, if it goes against the Word of God, it's not of God. Some time ago, I had a person in my office who was having marital problems, and it looked like the third marriage was going to fall apart. and they were going to have to move out, wasn't sure how they're going to pay the bills, and was really trying to figure out what they should do. So all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, somebody from high school starts to Facebook them and said, you know, you're the one I always loved, and we really should have been together, and starts flirting with this lady online. Now she's looking at this. She said, well, maybe that's the sign from God to tell me to go ahead and get divorced and find somebody else. Now, before she had a chance to say, I could see it in her eye. I could see it. I said, well, that's not the right person, don't we? Huh? He's wanting to flirt with a married woman. Oh. So that's not the kind of guy you want to be with. You see, so you gotta make sure you know the truth of the Word of God, and you gotta find truth by knowing the Word of God. So be careful with those kind of things. So these people heard thunder. And others, it says, an angel spake to them. All right, it still wasn't God, it was kind of supernatural. You know, an angel, whatever. It wasn't an angel, it was God. And Jesus answered, said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Letter C. Do you hear with understanding, or do you mark it off as just a random inarticulate rumbling? Do you hear with understanding, or do you mark it off as just a random inarticulate rumbling? If you're willing to believe in the Lord, you will have ears to hear and will hear. And when I say believe in the Lord, I mean more than just salvation. You can receive a gift. But are you willing to let him run your life? If you're not willing to let him run your life, then you're going to pick and choose what you hear from him. If you're going to pick and choose what you're going to hear from him, you're not really going to understand what he has to say. If you do not have ears to hear, the word of God will not make sense. It will just be noise to you. That's exactly what went on there. It was just noise to the general public. This is how we listen to the preaching of the word of God. If we have ears to hear, we'll hear it. I remember as a kid, my mom got saved. I was about 10 when she got saved, and maybe a little bit, I don't know, about that. But I'd come home from school, and when she got saved, she just got into the Bible. She was reading the Bible. When I got up in the morning, she was reading the Bible. When I went to bed at night, she started going to ladies' Bible study, and she'd listen to her preacher. She'd listen to Oliver B. Green Barnhouse and a bunch of those old guys and on the radio, and of course Oliver B. Green, you know, he's preaching, and I'd come home and he'd be on the radio and he's shouting and graveling and yelling and all this stuff, and I'd come home and I'd say, Mom, my soul, why do you listen to this stuff? This is just noise. Now I are one of those loudmouth preachers because I wanted to hear what it had to say. That changed. Number two, everyone must decide whether to listen or not. Folks, it's your decision. God's not going to grab you by the ear, open it up, and yell in it. Not going to do it. Now, well, wait a minute. Watch this. There have been some times when I said, Lord, I don't want to miss it. Hit me with a 2x4 if you have to. Now, I'm going to keep my eyes open so we don't have to use 2x4s. But if that's what we have to do, I don't want to miss what you're trying to tell me. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. He says, right now is the, oh, listen to it. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The word judgment there is the word tribunal. Justice is about to be served. There's going to be an accusation. There's going to be a condemnation. You know what he's saying? There's accusation, condemnation, execution. Now is the judgment of the world. It's now or never. Decide who I am. The world is going to decide whether Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, or whether he's a heretic, and we need to get rid of him. And you know, we need to do the same thing, even if you're a Christian. We all have to do it once we get to receive Christ as our Savior. But even Christians have to do that. We got to decide whether God is really God in our life or whether he's not. Are we going to listen to what he has to say? Do we believe what he says? Do we know the Word of God? Do we understand the Word of God? And do we obey the Word of God? Or is it just words on a page? He says, now shall the prince of this world be cast out, plucked out, ejected, no longer have an inside track, is on the outside. He says, we're going to divide asunder. Either you're going along with the Lord or you're not. He says, what's about to happen here in the next few days is old Satan's going to lose his power because on the cross, because the blood is going to cover it all up. The blood's going to conquer death. The people need to make a decision as to whether they will accept Jesus as Lord and King and Savior or not. And the Lord is going to then call all men to the bench to pronounce his judgment on them. Just so you know, if you decide against the Lord and decide to go with the rest of this world, you're going to be on the losing side. The prince of this world has been kicked out. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Let it be. Everyone's given the opportunity. But no one has an excuse. You have to decide whether you're going to listen to the Word of God. Everyone gets the opportunity, but you have no excuse if you don't. Romans 1:20 says this, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Psalm 19, verse 1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Watch this. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Creation is talking to you. You walk out there and see the stars, God's talking to you. There's an awful lot of people who say, well, I don't want to believe that there's a God. I'll just pretend it just happened by accident. You oozed up out of the muck and the mire. The old cliche is, look at an eyeball. How in the world that happened by accident? We want to think of evolution. But you realize that it pretty well for all along takes two to make another one. So that means while everything is evolving, it has to evolve compatible one with the other all the way up. So that just doubles the astronomical what's the word I'm looking for? Impossibilities. He says, day and day they utter speech, night and night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is Psalm 19, verse 4. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world, and them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. What's he saying? He said, well, I haven't heard God speak. Have you been outside? Have you ever watched a baby? Did you look in the mirror? If you want to believe that there's a God, that's all the further you have to go. But if you want to deny that there's a God, all you got to do is just deny all that for what it is. Now watch me. You start with that, and then you glorify God as being God. In other words, you give him credit for who he is. And then you might be surprised what all the other things he may show you. And how you start understanding the Word of God and the decisions in life. And what my next step's supposed to be and your next step's supposed to be. And where you're supposed to work and who you're supposed to marry. And what are you supposed to do after your spouse passes on? Do you still have a will for my life? You betcha he does. Well, how do I know? You've got to decide you're going to listen to him. And if you hear what he says, that you're going to do it. Number three, the greatest expression of who God is seen in Jesus. The greatest expression of who God is seen in Jesus. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The word draw there means here the word is to choose. I will choose all men. If I be lifted up, I'm going to take one to... In fact, even that word, that one draw has the idea of drag. The Lord has chosen us, but some have not chosen to come. They will refuse, kicking and screaming. They don't want to hear it. There's no greater expression of God's love for man than to give his life a ransom for them, and that will happen on the cross. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So when he is on the cross, he will show his love in an undeniable and unspeakable way. Number one, he's going to show his love by staying on the cross and not calling the angels to deliver him. You don't know you have that on your paper. I didn't put that on, did I? Secondly, he's going to show his love by saying this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And thirdly, he's going to show his love by winning the thief to Christ, winning the thief to eternal life right there where he's hanging on the cross. If you can't see it in any other way, you certainly can see it those three ways. And he would have done it for any single one of you. Number four, preconceived notions bring confusion. Preconceived notions bring confusion. Is Jesus the Messiah or not? Verse 34, the people answered him and said, well, we have heard out of the law that Christ, Messiah, that's the Greek word for Messiah, that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? We thought you were the Messiah that had come to save us. I mean, the fact is, if you jump down to the crowd had praised Jesus, the King of Israel, in John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard it, that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. And now you can't get clearer than that. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Pharisees were also afraid that Jesus was the Messiah. In verse 19 of chapter 12, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world's gone after him. They were afraid he was Messiah and the world's gone after him. And so these people said, well, okay, well, we thought you were the Messiah. Now you're saying you're going to have to die. See, we are such know-it-alls. We even question God and argue with the Lord over truth instead of just listening to truth. We need to have ears to hear. We'll even argue with God when we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. To be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, when it says, you know, be swift to hear, slow to speak, we think, well, that's, they're talking about relationship between people. How about the word God, too? I'll tell you what, we are so quick to tell God what he's supposed to be doing and what he's not supposed to be doing. We ought to be swift, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I'll tell you what, there's way too many people get mad at God because we see some circumstances that's not what we like. I had someone talk to me just in the last week or two here about a family member they had. They said they're just bitter against God. Just bitter against God because this person died or this happened or whatever it was. They're bitter against God. How can you get bitter against God? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Well, he allowed it to happen. And you know more than he does, I see. Maybe we should have ears to hear. Maybe, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he did this. Well, maybe you ought to stop complaining and stop giving him a bad name and tell everybody else how God failed you, and then instead get on your knees, confess your sin, and listen. Let me say, this is free. Sometimes we hurt, and we're not ready to give up the hurt. We kind of nurse the hurt. We prolong it. That person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. In fact, I think there's some people who have some hurts. They're afraid to give up the hurt because they don't have any identity. If they don't have that hurt, I'm not trying to make little hurts. But go on. Otherwise, it destroys your own life. So I think some people are like they don't have a life if they don't have a hurt. Let God heal that. There's a whole other world out there. You can have the joy of the Lord. It's like, well, so and so happened. And so now I don't get to have the joy of the Lord anymore. This my lot in life is to be the one that this happened to. And I'm not trying to be mean or facetious or anything. You're not the only one that had things happen to you. But you can't change the past. But we can change what our future is. Letter E is. Letter E, I don't know. The people had decided what they needed and thus what they wanted. They had decided already. They were looking for an earthly king that would save them from their plight in life in an external manner. They thought if their circumstances changed, then they would be okay. Watch this. Watch. The Lord is saying that he needs to save us from our sin, which changes our actions, which changes our circumstances. Let me say that again. The Lord is saying he needs to save us from our sin, which changes our actions, which changes our circumstances. Many people today are still looking for the government and their circumstances to change for the better so that they can have a wholesome life. Now, watch me here. Many people think that poverty causes crime and wickedness. You listen to me. You get mad at me once, but you listen to me. Sin causes crime and wickedness, and crime and wickedness causes poverty. Now, sin and wickedness may perpetuate the poverty, but it didn't start it out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. But watch me. To deny those verses is to do exactly what I'm talking about here. I know that's what God says, but I don't believe it. You're not listening. You're not listening. And if you don't listen to it, you're not going to reap the benefit of it. You're going to decide the Word of God is true, and I'm going to act upon the Word of God. So let me say that again. Sin causes crime and wickedness, and that causes poverty. Letter F. So the Lord was coming as a Savior. Is that letter F? I don't know. I might cut my numbers out. The Lord was coming as a Savior. Watch this. In order to change our circumstances, we must change our ways. We think that if we change our schools, we will change the outlook of the lives of our children. Now watch me. We need to change our children, and the schools will change. Change school buildings does not change crime. We will take our sin with us. You know, they're talking about school choice. Why is that bad choice? So wait a minute, just hang on here. Now, if your family's in the midst of a bad school, you may have to move them to another school, like our school. That's okay, I understand. However, it is right to move only a few, if it's right only to move a few from the bad school, or is it only fair to move everyone to the good school? You know what I'm saying? I said, well, you know, they ought to be able to move, they're in the bad schools, we need to be able to move these folks. Well then, who's left at the bad school? So now what do they have? And why is it bad in the first place? Hang on. We will find that the school is just a building and the badness is because of the people. And if you move the people, you're moving the problems. We just changed buildings. You understand? We don't need to change the neighborhood. We don't need, I'm not trying to be racist or anything. We don't need to bus them 30, 40 minutes to another school because what do you do? Bring some of those kids? Why do those kids have to go to the bad school? We're not accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. Somewhere along the way, somebody was taught right from wrong, whether they were Christian or not, I don't know, but they were taught a fear of God and right from wrong, and they did what was right to a certain extent, and they had a better society because of it. Is it letter G? Yes. In order to change our ways, our hearts must change. Letter H, our hearts will not change until we are made into new creations in Christ. And I, we will not be made new creations in Christ until we are willing to receive the living Word of God. They said, we thought you were the Messiah. Now you're going to die? He said, yeah. We're never going to have the society you want us to have until we are new creations in Christ. And we're never going to be new creations in Christ until I die for your sins. And then we will be able to have that society. Well, man, that was 2,000 years ago. Yes, and 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years, the Lord. It's only been 2 days. God's got a grander plan. Number 5. Liberty and freedom is right in front of them if they will see it and hear it. They said, we just want you to fix our society. He says, you can't fix your society until I fix your heart. Let me fix your heart. You can't fix the heart until I die for you. Yes, I am your king. But first, I have to be your savior. Now, let me ask you that. I mean, you know, I know most people in here. I know everybody in here, but I've to a certain extent. But I've actually sat down with most of you in here and heard your testimony. But let me say this. The Lord can't be the king of your life. Well, if you're not going to let him tell you what to do. You want him to fix everything, but you don't want him to tell you what to do. But we have a lot of folks who want him to tell us what to do, but they were never saved in the first place. Maybe they even prayed a prayer. They worded some things and put their name on a card, and it's in the directory. And with the heart, man believes in the righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. How do we get to righteousness? When the heart believes. Your heart has to make a decision. You know what that means? You've got to have ears to hear. You've got to accept God's word for what it is. Swallow the truth, hook, line, and sinker, and every bit of it. Do you expect to do anything? Liberty is and freedom is right in front of them if they will hear it. Verse 35. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Get this straight, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If you don't have the Lord leading, then you're going to make all kinds of crazy decisions. We've all made some bad decisions. But the longer we walk in the darkness, the more bumps and bruises in life we're going to get, the more broken toes we're going to have. You ever run into the side of a countertop? You know what I mean, the corner of a countertop? Man, that hurts. And that might have been with the light on, but we just weren't looking. But if you go to the refrigerator at night, sometimes that happens too. And because we're walking in the darkness. Did you ever have your foot slip on the steps and you fall down and hit your tailbone? Oh, my soul. Twice I did that and knocked the wind right out of me. So I passed out. It just knocked the wind out of me. I was a kid both times. Because they're walking in darkness. So many people, they don't hear the word of God. They don't hear his voice. And they're making all kinds of decisions that just isn't good because they're walking in darkness. You don't have to walk in darkness. But if you don't turn the light on, you're going to walk in darkness. The light's there. Turn it on. Well, then my wife's going to know I got up. Well, then don't get up. You know, wait till you get outside the bedroom door, close the door, then turn the light on. She'll see the one, and she'll see it under the door. I know she will. I laugh about that, but you know what? That's a lot of reason why a lot of people don't turn the light on. Because they'll say, well, they'll see me do that. And they'll think that's funny because I'm believing in God or I'm looking for an answer from the Lord. If someone finds out I'm reading the Bible, they're gonna tease me. You ought to tease them for not reading the Bible. In a nice way. Just say, I'm just turning the light on. Just turning the light on. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Verse 36. While ye have the light, believe in the light. It's there. You got the opportunity that ye may be the children of light. Right now we are able to walk in the light. When you cross over in eternity, it's done. Things spake Jesus, and departed and did hide himself from them. Isn't that interesting? Here I am. I'm giving you light. You better walk in the light. And he pulls the cord of the light and walks out. I'm done. Walk no more with him. Now, he's telling us this principle. The Holy Spirit's still here. The Lord's trying to talk to us about some things. And maybe totally different. You hear me pray. It'd be totally different for you than for me and the person sitting next to you. It could be totally different for you than for your spouse. I don't know what's going on in your life, but God knows, and you do if you listen to him. If he turns on a light, we better get in the light and walk in it and make decisions according to the light. They had better accept the truth and trust it while it's right there in front of them. And if they wait, it may be too late. Oh, man. I'm going to stop there. Because there's so much good here I want you to see. Do you hear the voice of God? Now, again, I'm not saying, do you hear him audibly? I'm not. Now, I'm not saying he can't. But I'm not saying he is. But I'll tell you, I don't care whether some angel or the Lord or something, the voice you think is the Lord itself tells you something. If it doesn't go along with this book, it wasn't the Lord. Okay? He's not schizophrenic. God's not schizophrenic. believes one thing one day and believes another thing the next day. But if you're willing to go to the Word of God and listen to what He has to say, and in your heart you're going to be willing to do what He has to say, then He'll tell you. Now watch me. You say, well, I did that one time, and I didn't hear anything, so I stopped praying and stopped looking for it. Well, then you didn't believe it. See, when you hold on to God, it's not that you wear Him down. He says, oh, my soul. All right. No. It's hanging on because, as old Jacob did at the river Jabbok, he says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Well, what he was saying was this. You're my source of blessing. I'm not going anywhere else. So I'm just going to keep asking. I'm going to keep asking. And you keep asking, so either you get the answer, or the Holy Spirit says, oh, by the way, that's not right. You shouldn't be asking that. He'll change your prayer. You know? I'll ask God for a new Lexus. I'm going to hang on until I get it. I just think God wants me to have a new Lexus. Well, I wouldn't hold it against God if you don't get one. But I held on. Now, that's not what he's talking about, faith. Faith, again, action based on a promise, command of God. How are you supposed to behave with your spouse and your children? Well, that doesn't make sense. They're getting away with stuff. Do it God's way. Be consistent. Don't change up. Just stick with it. My word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Him. Keep your nose in the book. Keeps your mind out of the sin. You do it His way, just stick to it. Sometimes the wait is not to prove God that you mean it, it's to show you that you mean it. You know what I'm saying? You say, well, I'm not sure why my prayers aren't getting answered. So I just kind of gave up. Well, there you go. So now we know you didn't mean it. Well, that's because you didn't answer my prayer. No, if you meant it, you wouldn't have let up yet. If it's really something, you know, if it's something you're supposed to rely on according to the Word of God, you don't let up. If it's really true, you don't let up. So the proof was, you want to put on a good show for Him, hoping He'll answer your prayer. And if He answers your prayer, then you'll believe Him. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, I hope He answers my prayer, then I can really believe in Him. But take His word on it and let Him prove Himself. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your word. Thank You for Your truths. Lord, we've got to take the steps in life of obedience. And I say this reservedly here, as if You're right here with us, as if You're really going to do it, because You are right here with us in spirit and in truth. And if it's a promise, You really will do it. But we have to decide that we can believe in the things in You, even if we can't see. As You told Thomas, blessed is him that hath not seen and yet believes. Lord, I pray You speak to our hearts here. Heads are bowed and our eyes.